This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
NBA doesn't stop. They got the playoffs going on right now. The NBA draft lottery happened on Monday, and the Portland Trail Blazers are for sale. So we bring in Ben Golliver, Washington Post NBA writer, the author of Bubble Ball as well.
Indeed.
And a damn fine and proud Beaverton High alum. Ben, how's it going, man?
Going very well, guys. Reporting live here from Minneapolis, getting ready for Game 5 tonight. The playoffs are getting good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. And I've got a question for you. I promised the listeners right out of the gate. You were in the room for the draft lottery. Is the draft lottery rigged, Ben?
Not that I can tell, but, you know, these weird results keep popping up. You know, I understand why everybody's thinking twice about it. I felt so bad for the Blazers fans. I mean, another year where it comes down to the final ping pong ball. One number off, they could have had Cooper Flagg. I think he would have had a chance to really emerge as a franchise player in Portland, and I think the market would have loved him. He's such a hard-playing guy, amazing defensive presence, but also a talented scorer. And instead, now he has to go walk in Luka Doncic's cowboy boots, right, down there in Dallas. So crazy turn of events. Not only did Dallas jump up, San Antonio jumped up. So that sparks all the rumors about maybe they're going to trade for Giannis. I mean, it was one thing after another. Philly kept their pick when it looked like they might lose their pick. It was the wildest of all the lottery drawings that I've witnessed. You know, I was hearing people just, you know, basically, you know, not shout profanities, but let profanities out as the ping pong balls were coming because they couldn't believe their eyes. They couldn't believe the results.
Now, when you sent the tweet that the Blazers were one ball off, in your mind, were you thinking actively, like, this is going to hurt so many souls in Portland right now?
Well, it's actually become like an annual gimmick. You know, I don't love to do it, but this has happened over and over, guys. I mean, it's not my fault. Don't shoot the messenger. That's the rule, right? We know it got really close with Wembanyama. But, you know, the one thing I can say is misery loves company. It's not just you guys. The Wizards have also come very consistently close. The number one pick in all three of the last drafts, and so their fans are right there suffering with Blazers fans when it comes to that ping pong ball look.
Ben, obviously the news drops yesterday morning that the Allen Estate is putting the Trailblazers up officially for sale. What was your kind of first thought process, and where do you think this thing is headed, and where do you think this thing ultimately ends up?
Well, I just love the timing of it. You know, if they do win the lottery, maybe you're not selling, maybe you're holding out for a better offer, maybe you're waiting a little bit. So you want to make sure that you don't have that amazing asset, to kind of, maybe goose the purchase price a little bit. You know, I think with the Celtics, it's kind of the reverse, right? They sell before this Jason Tatum injury for $6.1 billion. I wonder what the price would be, honestly, right now where they're looking at, you know, a second-round exit, Tatum being out all of next season and all of that. I wonder if that would have impacted the final price for the Celtics. These are kinds of questions you have to ask in a league where the superstar-level players drive so much of the marketing and so much of the financial aspect of the game. obviously, I think it's a day long coming. You know, I think I've been pretty critical of Jody Allen over the years. I think when you're the owner, you know, you have a real obligation to communicate with the media, communicate with the fan base, explain your vision, be a public face of that organization, rally the troops during tough years, sort of like we saw Mark Cuban do over the years with the Dallas Mavericks, always trying to cultivate that fan base. And it's just been MIA, radio silence from her. I just don't think you can be a successful organization in a league that's as competitive as the NBA without an owner at the top who is all in, completely invested, and, you know, willing to take the lumps when times are bad and willing to be out front when the times are good. So I think even though we don't really know at this point who the leading candidates would be to buy the Blazers, I saw the report that, you know, Phil Knight's no longer interested. I mean, you know, that's unfortunate. That feels like a real missed opportunity, for the franchise a few years ago. But to me, it's a positive, welcome development because the current regime was stuck in its ways, and its ways were not working.
Ben Golliver is our guest, Washington Post national NBA writer. Obviously, when a team goes for sale in a small market like Portland, and especially since we saw just up the road in Seattle what happened when they sold, there's the apprehension. Adam Silver's made it clear they don't want to be in the business of moving teams anymore. What is your sense of around the league and not to kind of maybe, I don't know, squash the fears of this team leaving?
Well, I think, first of all, we haven't seen a team move in quite a while. You know, yep. It's been almost 20 years since the Sonics moved. The Kings flirted with it, but they didn't move. There was some talk about the Pelicans. Maybe they would move, and they didn't move. And so it has been a while since we've, seen a relocation. And so I think that should comfort some people. I think at the same time, you never take a great fan base for granted. Obviously, Blazers fans have been through it all, and it's been a longstanding franchise in that market. And so that's a real asset. If you're an owner, you want to buy a team that has public support, that is, a major pillar of the city. That makes it attractive. You know, you don't want one of these organizations where, you know, you're like the fourth horse in a 14 town, right? Like, that is a much tougher business proposition. And I think the other thing that could benefit, Blazers fans or kind of calm their nerves is the idea of expansion. You know, there's some real talk that this summer things could heat up a little bit and maybe we're finally going to see a team in Vegas and a team in Seattle. That process kind of really beginning after so many years of being teased. When you go back and look at, some of the major checkpoints the NBA had talked about, they wanted to get a new collective bargaining agreement deal done and they wanted a new media rights deal done. Well, they got both of those done. Then the Celtics sell for a record $6.1 billion. So that looks like a nice target, you know, if you're trying to come up with how much you're going to charge for an expansion team, right? So you add all those things up. The business is quite good for the NBA right now. It makes sense to expand. And if you have two new teams coming in, well, that's two obvious markets that wouldn't be in play for the Portland Trailblazers, right? And so I think from that standpoint, people should be relatively in a good place about it. But, you know, there are some holdups, right? I mean, there's been a lot of challenges with the television deal there locally. The arena is one of the, at this point, one of the older arenas, even though I know they've done a lot of modifications and upgrades to it over the years. So those are factors that people should consider, in terms of exactly how much is this team going to, sell for, like what the price will be. But ultimately, like, you don't want to leave a great basketball market. And to me, I mean, I travel city to city, all year long, especially during the playoffs. And Blazers fans bring it just as well as anybody does. And I don't think you want to take that for granted.
Well, Ben, on the basketball side of things, when you look at the events that have transpired in the last 72 hours, obviously the Blazers fall back to pick number 11. And then the next day, the sales announced. In leading up into this, the Blazers ownership extended both general manager Joe Cronin and head coach Chauncey Billups. When you look at now the team being sold, what do you look at as far as how much wiggle room, leeway, things that they can do to improve the team? Because if you look at the team right now, there's only three guys that are under contract currently, not counting UFAs, RFAs, and options, club options, for the club in the 2026-27 season. And so that seems like they're trying to keep the books as clear as possible. But if you're talking about building this team out, you have to decide on Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot Henderson and Denny Avdija and Tumani Kamara. And you have so many decisions to make. What kind of impact do you think that the potential sale actually puts on that?
Well, you don't know until you know who the buyer is, right? Because we've seen some buyers come in, like Matt Ishbia from the Phoenix Suns, who had no ties to Phoenix. You know, he's a Michigan guy, and he decided, let's trade the entire farm for Kevin Durant, like 3 days onto the job, right? And so I think typically what the new owners do look for, though, is they want the flexibility factor. And, you know, they tend to want a little bit of a continuation or a continuity, I should say. And so I think that's why the extensions help. Like, whoever's buying the team knows who's going to be in charge. And often, I mean, Ishbia is like, you know, the exception to the rule. Typically, the new owners want to have like a year evaluation period where they get their feet wet, they understand how the NBA works. A lot of times they get really excited to come to every single game, go in the locker room, take pictures with the players. They do all that kind of new owner stuff, right? And then they really get serious about how they want to run the team. And so I think not having tons of long-term contracts, I think that is viewed as a benefit to potential, you know, prospective owners. The last thing you want is like some supermax contract for a guy who's injured that's going to, like, you know, clog up the books and make it hard for you to put your own stamp on the team. And then I think, you know, despite the fact that those guys have extensions, I think everybody knows when a new owner comes in, typically they want to get their own people, you know, who they trust to run the organization. And so it winds up that first season becomes a prove it year. So let's just be very honest about this. I mean, the sale can take a long time. You know, the Celtics one dragged out for all, you know, all the way past the All-Star break, even though they announced it last summer that they were going to sell. And then there's going to be a transition period for the new owner. And then, you know, that person's really going to feel probably up to speed in their second year. And so I think if you're a Blazers fan, you have to, you know, be realistic and expect some choppiness here over the next couple of years. Now, if I was in Joe Cronin's position, what I want to do in the middle of that transition is really prioritize the young players, right? Not only do I want to make sure they get a lot of minutes, but I want to make sure I get those guys under longer term contracts, that the guys who I truly feel are part of the core, because you have to view this now as like a 2-3-4 year type window. You're not necessarily in that like 1 year, year to year mentality of like, how can we get into the playoffs? I don't think that's quite your goal here. I think you want to be great longer term for the next ownership group, right? So identify your best young players, make sure they're under some longer term contracts than you described. And that's how you go forward. And if that means you have to trade some of the higher priced veterans or you just move on from some of those guys, that's how I would handle things.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
You mentioned Matt Ishbia, and being a new owner is really tough. It's a tough business to wrap your head around professional sports. There's only so many teams available to own in various sports. What, as you kind of look from your view being in a national writer now, for a new owner, what traits do you feel make a good new owner to a franchise?
Well, to me, the most important thing is love for the game, you know, and that's why I kind of have harped on Jody Allen. We have no idea, you know, what her relationship to basketball is. She's just inheriting this team from Paul Allen. It was so clear that Paul Allen genuinely loved basketball, right? Now, he made some silly decisions along the way. Everybody will. But, I mean, he was making it popular, running up huge luxury tax bills way before all these current owners were doing it, right? He was a trailblazer in that front, no pun intended. So I think love for the game translates to financial support, not only when you're talking about your players, but you're looking at your medical staff, your coaching staff, just, you know, running a first-class operation that players want to be a part of and stick around, building a culture. It starts with the owner loving basketball and having that team be a high priority in their life. And so Matt Ishbia has made a lot of mistakes down there in Phoenix, but one thing you can't question is the fact that this guy loves basketball. And so sometimes maybe he loves it a little too much. You know, you almost have to kind of reel him in a little bit. So that's why another top characteristic would be self-awareness. You want owners who know what they know and also know what they don't know. And, you know, and are willing to trust their executives to make the kinds of industry decisions that maybe they're not as familiar with, right? You want to strike a good balance there. I think the Celtics ownership group has been a phenomenal example of this. You know, they were so invested in the Celtics that they realized even a franchise legend like Danny Ainge wasn't getting it done anymore. And they made a big swing to, you know, basically part with Danny Ainge, bring in Brad Stevens. And nobody's done a better job than Brad Stevens around the league over the last 5 years, except maybe Sam Presti, right? And they've really trusted him to make those types of decisions. And of course, they've spent the money to support him. So, and it paid off with the championship last year, right? So I think that's a great model for what you're looking for in an owner. You want people involved in the idea of basketball being great and being a priority, but you don't want them to be meddlesome. That's sort of the right balance to strike. And hopefully Portland can find a group like that. But I'll say this, it's getting harder and harder to do this because so many of these teams are now selling for so much money that it can't just be one person who buys the team, right? Like Steve Ballmer's got $2 billion just sitting around, so he could buy the Clippers, no problem. Most people don't have that, right? They have to bring in minority investors. They have to bring in partners. They have to take private equity money. And all of that stuff just, it adds more cooks to the kitchen and makes things more difficult. And I think that's something to consider in Portland, too. It's not like there's a whole bunch of billionaires just sitting around in Portland waiting to, you know, spend all of their money on a basketball team. And so that could, you know, lead to a situation where there is like kind of a conglomeration that buys it, right? Or it could lead to a situation where it's just an out-of-town owner. And either one of those, it just presents different challenges if you're the Blazers, right? Yeah. Especially if you're a fan who was used to Paul Allen, who was at every single game, who was fully committed to the city, who built the arena in the 90s and all that kind of stuff. You know, it can just be different when you have outside ownership groups. One example of that's Milwaukee. You know, they had two guys from New York who were running the team. They were taking private jets back and forth to the game. It worked out okay. I mean, they won a championship in 2021, but one of those owners wound up selling his stake and he's already out because, you know, he just figured, hey, this was a good investment. You know, I'm not really in this for the long haul. You know, the city of Milwaukee was not his priority. And so that's something you have to worry about, right? Like if the hedge fund guys come, the private equity guys come, you got to wonder, you know, is Portland their priority or are they just trying to flip an organization and make a quick buck?
Well, you just explained when you want a new owner, you're trying to find a unicorn. Now mm-hmm. we need to find a whole herd of unicorns uh-huh. because there's multiple investors. Seems easy. We're going to do it.
Part, but if you get the one person, you know, and they get to be in charge and then everybody else is just kind of supporting, that's kind of the best case you can hope for right now. That's what the Celtics are, by the way. They got this guy Chisholm who's going to be like the face of it, but he has a whole bunch of, you know, financial support backing him. But the reason why they liked him as the face of it is because he grew up as a Celtics fan and he was from Massachusetts, right? So, that could be hard to find. You know, if you guys know any billionaires in Portland, I would call them immediately and tell them to start raising the money as quickly as possible.
Ben, good stuff as always, man. Really appreciate the time. Enjoy Minnesota.
Sounds good, guys. All right, take care.
All right, thank you. Is Ben Golliver, Washington Post national NBA writer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.